they say, I don't say fail. I say it was...
a learning opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't fail to tell us about Fretboard's Pitcher Special. You just created a learning opportunity for the next time that we record here.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, should we get this party started?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to Truth Beer and Podsequences.
Yay!
Yay, indeed, Julia. This is the podcast where we listen to all the Cincinnati-based craft beer media from the previous week, podcasts, YouTube shows, whatever it is. And then we get together at a podcast host, and today we are back at Fretboard Brewing in Blue Ash.
Yeah.
How about that? It's also, It's also a Monday, not a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. So for Lord, everything's off.
Yeah, so for all of you that show up to Higher Gravity on Tuesday, have fun.
Hey, get some great beer, drink up. Take a Dora walk around the park.
Of course, they're going to be hearing this the day after they showed up and we weren't there.
Well, not the day after.
Well, that's right.
Like
Friday.
3 days after.
3 days after.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but anyways, look, life happens. We got personal stuff going on. Yes. So we were recording on a Monday versus a Tuesday. That being said, possibly one of the regular things that we talk about, we are going to not... it's not possibly. We're not going to talk about it because it hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
The weekly pint.
Right.
Hopefully, we have a weekly pint today. Never know. You never know.
And hopefully, this time, because we should be home when
should
it
be.
Happens.
Yeah, should be.
Hopefully, we won't forget to recap it next week, because I think that's where, if you remember last
week. Yes, we did.
I said my numbering was off, and I couldn't figure out why. It's because we had to record on a Monday.
Yep.
And then we just forgot to cover that week's episode of Weekly Pint.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's the one I called in on, I think.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, maybe that's why we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it.
Get it.
We don't need to talk about it. You can go and watch. So, but anyway, so recap all the Cincinnati-based craft beer media, and hopefully there aren't too many consequences from the hosts of the other podcasts and media. Get it? That's part of the name, the Podsequences.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that being said, my name's Marco. I'm a taproom manager here locally. I also brewed beer commercially in the Cincinnati area for several years, like
decades.
7, 8 years, something like that. I don't know. And that other voice you heard belongs to the best co-host in Podcastlandia.
I am Julia. And in addition to drinking all of the craft beer in Cincinnati and yelling at Fretboard for not talking about Fretboard things, I also read the websites.
Yeah.
I go to the website. I read the website. I know what's happening.
Did you go to the website?
I totally went to the website.
No, we may not be at Higher Gravity, but these are the same chairs.
These are the same chairs, I think.
Same chairs.
So we feel like we're at home.
Yeah.
So, love this place.
Love this place. That being said, all the thoughts and opinions on this podcast are ours and ours alone. They do not reflect any entity which we may be affiliated with. Full-time jobs, part-time jobs, Higher Gravity,
Fretboard,
you know, any of it. You want to get at us about something we said, get at us. You can find us, you know, in the show notes. You can get the email address. You can, you know, become a Patreon, which gets you more content than, you know, all of the peasants that aren't Patreon. So... that being said, this would not be a good craft beer podcast. And thank you for making us the number one craft beer podcast that talks about Cincinnati-based craft beer podcast. We would not be a good podcast if we were not having craft beer or some beverage of some sort.
Exactly.
You know, we mix it up all the time.
Yeah.
All the time we mix it up. But today, it's craft beer. Julia, what you drinking?
I am drinking Fretboard's Dunkel Number 9 because I love this beer so much.
Yeah.
And when I asked the bartender, I said, hey, I'm not sure if I should have this or this. I'm kind of torn. He said, do you want more beer in your glass or less beer? And I mean, what kind of question is that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So, Marco, how about you? What's in your glass?
I went for less beer.
You did.
I went for less beer. I have Improv IPA.
But which is also, it's less beer, but it's a bigger beer. So I think they even
out. It is. It is a bigger beer.
Yeah.
Yours is like
5'7", 5'9"?
Five.
4, 3, 5, 2, 4. I think it's 5.4, yeah.
5.4.
I don't know. Close
IPA,
enough.
6.9.
It's still a malt liquor.
Malt liquor.
Where yours is like a 27% ABV.
Yeah. I think this is 6.9.
Nice.
Nice. All right.
Oh, man. And we thought this was going to be a more condensed episode. Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Where's the gnome?
Apparently, he is at a concert tonight.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know Clay Aiken was in town.
Yeah.
What content are we going to talk about? I know I'm going to do a mention of Adam Makes Beer for sure.
Yep, we're doing a bit of Adam Makes Beer. We have an episode of the Miami Valley Craft Beer Podcast with Third Eye Brewing Hamilton. We have an episode of the Cincy Brewcast with, believe it or not, Fretboard. And
hey,
we have Bruce Guy's Booze News talking about Doritos.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
How about that shit? Anyways, we'll get to it when
like
we talk about it.
It was. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did you want to start with Adam Makes Beer? Because that's going to be more of a kind of, as is typical.
It's a mention. It's not a recap, really.
But we do need to mention his show because he is an unofficial show sponsor, much like Fretboard is our unofficial show sponsor today. Thank you, Fretboard, for not knowing that you are this week's podcast a featured sponsor. So
yes.
you are
the winner.
So you can send the refund check for our tabs to truthbeerpod@gmail.com. Whenever you get to it, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's totally okay. Just whenever. So, Adam
Makes
Beer. In
case you don't get the joke, we do not get free beer when we podcast anywhere. We don't ask for it. We don't need it. We are here for the love of the craft, and that is it.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, Adam Makes Beer.
Adam Makes Beer. So, about 6 or 7 days ago, Adam Makes Beer came out with his monthly Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
It is just under an hour and 50 minutes.
So, almost 2 hours?
Almost 2 hours.
Okay.
Monthly Q&A. He did not go over his typical sort of, he calls it professional update, but really what he does, he takes you through his personal life. Hey, I ran this, or I've been doing this, or staying healthy this way, and then talks about personal. Like, he really didn't do that. However, he did tell you where, well, not where, because we're, he's not a dumb podcaster or YouTuber. He is going to go on vacation coming up.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool.
Did he show his confirmation code for the hotel he's staying at on his live stream? All right, good. As all good podcasters
As he was sipping on his coffee mug of him. Which I still think is fantastic.
It's amazing.
That's fantastic.
If you had a coffee mug with your face on it, wouldn't that be like all you drank out of on video and
on
off?
On video,
absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely on video.
Why wouldn't you?
But he would switch between the coffee mug with his face on it and then a can of sparkling water.
That's fair.
So he talked about going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about cask ales. They talked about West Coast IPAs. They actually talked about Beer Garden, which we had on the pod last week.
Yeah.
And so, my God, this monthly Q&A went so deep in the weeds on the brewing sciences. My Lord. If you are interested as a really avid home brewer, or if you are a pro, go and watch this pod. If you are not one of those and you're just a casual craft beer fan, this is going to be way over your head.
Mm-hmm.
Way over your head. Now, I'm not telling you not to listen, but I am telling you, be prepared for a lot of discussion and lingo that is not common to casual craft beer drinkers.
And I've said this before about us recapping or not doing full recaps of Adam Makes Beer, but just doing these little condensed mentions of it. It's because, while Marco, you might understand 90% of what's going on in the conversation that Adam's having, either via the Q&A or with the interviews that he does, I'm not going to catch. You'll get 90% of it. I will miss 90% of it. So it's something that we talked about it when we started keeping an eye on the content he's putting out. And it's not something that I can recap accurately because I don't know what the hell is going on half the time. And it would be kind of that one-sided conversation to where I don't think it would do our listeners justice to try and recap these deep technical dives into brewing that only half of us understand.
I also am not quite halfway through his industry interview from last month. I don't know why the YouTubes are failing me at this moment, but his industry industry interview is with someone who is a wonderful lady who is in the lab, you know, does lab work for breweries, and it's very interesting. My apologies to Adam for taking so long to get caught up.
He's going to pull a sponsorship.
He's got a lot going on, man.
He's going to pull a sponsorship he knows of our how it show. Is.
Lots going on.
That's true.
He knows
how
it is.
Has he mentioned if he was able to, because I know that we talked in another kind of mini recap of what he's doing about some of his health issues, and that he thinks he's going to finally be able to drink some of the beer that he's making. Has he touched on that to where, like, I'm sure that he's not going to just dive in and all of a sudden be drinking all the things just because of...
What's interesting is I don't think in the whole almost 2 hours that he mentioned Brewer's Clarex once in this episode, which he had talked about for several Q&As and shows before.
Right. More just curious, like, is he able to enjoy a beer now and then, now that he's using that in what he's making, or is there still some side effects that
I don't know how much, even if he could drink every beer at Sonder, I don't know how much beer he's drinking.
Right, no. And I wasn't asking, the way that I asked wasn't specifically that. It was more of a...
Would he take some home and drink them? Possibly. But I don't know. I don't know if he's having more than one pint after a shift.
Right, which wasn't my... It wasn't the intent of my question.
Sure.
What I was more asking was, has he been able to identify that since, you know, with using Brewer's Clarex, with the steps that he was taking to make those lower gluten beers, has he been able to even drink them for testing purposes, just to make sure that what they're brewing tastes the way it's supposed to? I'm just curious, has he noticed that that has made a difference?
It's a good question. Didn't come up in this round.
Excuse me.
In this Q&A.
Okay. And I didn't know if it had or not, so just why. And yeah, again, whatever he wants to drink, however much he wants to drink, if he doesn't want to drink at all, that's none of my business.
Don't care.
Because he has brought it up in the public forum about that, it was more of a curiosity.
Yes.
Has he noticed a difference? That's it. Like, yes, I have noticed a difference. Moving on. That's it. So, okay. Yeah. That's cool. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on Adam Makes Beer?
He has had commenters from all over the world send him questions and interactions. I mean, he's had people from, if I'm not mistaken, New Zealand, Australia. He's had people from UK. He's had folks from this past episode, I believe it was Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
And he actually had to put a question into Google Translate to be able to interact with that question.
That is so amazing. I am so happy and proud of what he is doing.
Oh, it's
I don't
great.
Understand any of it, really, but I am so thrilled that he has found that niche that is making an impact on the people that are watching and participating. And it is the content that he's even said it doesn't really exist out there, and he is creating that space for those people that want to brew at that ninth level, tenth level.
He did tease that the in-brewery videos, some of those are about to start coming out again.
Nice. I did enjoy those.
Yeah.
I did enjoy those.
So that's what I got on Adam Makes Beer. Congrats,
okay.
Adam,
all right.
on
yeah.
all the, you know, the connections and touch points, and congratulations on, you know, the success that you're having with the channel and the efforts that you're doing to try and put good information out there. So great job. Hats off to you, sir.
Hell yeah. Well, let's roll on into another episode, another piece of content that I think is going to be a shorter recap, and we'll explain why here in a second. The Miami Valley Craft Beer Podcast by Blake Longfellow.
Yep.
This is season 1, episode 10, Third Eye Brewing Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start right off by saying the audio quality for this episode was not great. For me personally, it was very hard to listen to, even with both earbuds in, even with the volume up. It did sound to me like the microphones were set on one table and then they all decided, oh, let's sit at this other table across the room. Because you could hear them, but it felt like you were...
It's a little rough.
Not eavesdropping, but like you were hearing them from across the room. So
yeah.
This is going to be kind of a quicker recap just because it was not... I couldn't hear a lot of what they were saying as hard as I tried.
Yeah, there was a little bit of... There was a lot of noise happening, and it made it hard to hear the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also... a strange, like, sharp, spiky noise that would happen. Because I, too, was listening at, like, full volume on either my phone or a very high volume in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it really hard to be able to separate and navigate through all
right,
of
trying
the,
to focus on the voices
on
and
just
not...
The, yeah.
We love what Blake is doing. I think that he is putting out a fantastic podcast. I don't think there's been really an audio issue with any of his episodes until this one.
Right.
So not exactly sure what happened there, but I encourage you to try to listen to it, but just know that it is not the easiest podcast to listen to purely sound quality wise.
Yeah, it's not because the questions were strange or oddball or you know, there were uncomfortable moments. That's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, the questions were very good. They were pertinent. They you know, pulled a lot out from the brew team that, you know, maybe they hadn't thought about that deeply before. And so that those aspects of it were good. Now,
so, do you want to run down some of those?
Yeah,
just to make it easy, just if someone can't really, I mean, some people might not have the incredible hearing that you and I have as, you know, very, very young people.
I have
our hearing
about
is
before, yes.
Razor sharp, fantastic. Yeah. But, I mean, again, it is a little difficult, but we do want to try to
and
get...
yours is razor sharp and fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yep. I appreciate that.
Yep.
This episode had Kelly Montgomery, Quentin Cook, and Andrew Moore as the participants.
Yeah, more Andrew. Let's go.
I mean, why not? Why not? We always need more Andrews. What have we been saying?
Andes?
All the Andes. There are too many Andes.
Andes.
There aren't enough Andes. I don't know. It depends on how you look at
also
it.
Also a lot of Josh.
There are a lot of Joshes as well. Yeah. As well. Andes and Joshes, they kind of rule the craft
right.
beer world.
Yeah.
Yes. So they talked about what the early days of craft beer were like, which had some really cool stories from mostly Kelly. I kind of recognize him as speaking up first, which again, it was kind of hard sometimes to decipher who was speaking, so I apologize if I say the wrong name for who said something in
the recap.
It's our
truth. Don't worry about it.
It's our truth, exactly. Craft beer was hard to find. There weren't as many styles to choose from. You really had to go out and look for the beers that you wanted to drink. They weren't just kind of handed to you on a platter like what we have today. Like
right.
today, if you decide you really want a Pilsner, I mean, you have... God knows how many breweries in Cincinnati that can hand you a glass of an absolutely incredible Pilsner.
Yep.
If you want a peanut butter porter, you know that there are specific breweries where you can get exactly what you want, where the early days of craft beer in Cincinnati, that was not always the case. Kind of moved into how they all got into craft beer. Kelly's parents were incredibly supportive of him dropping out of business school and moving into brewing.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Normally you don't hear that parents are supportive of that. Kelly's like, man.
A lot like Sam Calagione,
yeah,
in a way.
Exactly.
Like walking on the, you know, over in Rehoboth. Mm-hmm. And he just said, Dad, I think I want to brew for a living. And his dad looked up and saw the
like,
street sign
what?
And said, you know, Dogfish Head would be a good name for a brewery.
You should do that.
Yeah.
Exactly. One of the other gentlemen on the show, which again, I couldn't quite pick out who was speaking, talked about how he got into brewing via his quarter life crisis.
Yeah.
Which I think is also pretty accurate for some people.
Does that mean he has to have three more?
I mean, if he lives to 100, yeah. So at least two more.
Well, but your life is your life. You can have a quarter life crisis.
True. And still have, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so
depending on you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right.
When you end up, you know, getting when you expire.
Right. This is very true. Very true. I never thought about it that way. So I have at least three more crises to get through. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Was last Sunday one?
Oh, Jesus. No, that actually wasn't. That wasn't a crisis.
Wasn't too bad, right?
No.
That wasn't the worst run you've been on, right?
No. Let's see. What else do we have in this episode? They talked a bit about chemistry in brewing, which brought me back to a conversation that we had multiple weeks ago about how brewing is a STEM career.
It is.
It absolutely is, no matter what argument you might have against it. Or say, well, kind of, but not really. No, it is STEM. It is part of that science, technology, engineering, math. If you don't have some of those pieces, brewing doesn't happen. So that's my stance. I will die on that hill.
I fully believe that it is. And to the level and the degree that everyone takes it to, each their own.
Sure.
But it is.
But those aspects still have to play a part in making beer. You don't have to understand them to, you know, the PhD level, but they are absolutely there.
Oh, what the you bring in the D?
Bring in the D.
Oh, the PhD.
The PhD. Hell yeah. They talked a bit about the expansion into Hamilton, how they felt that they had outgrown the Sharonville space a bit. They had done as much with it as they could, and so they needed to get bigger and just have more space to do all the different things that they wanted to do, and so Hamilton was born. I didn't feel that there was as much Hamilton-specific talk.
There wasn't.
In this episode as the title would lead you to believe, but they did touch on it. They talked a bit about the Dayton beer scene versus the Cincinnati beer scene, which
didn't know they had one.
Yeah, I mean, Blake knows they have one. He's trying to promote it. That's what the Miami Valley Craft Beer Podcast is all about.
Yeah.
Have you not listened to the previous 9 episodes? That's a joke.
I listened to the ones that had to do about Cincinnati beer.
And then one of the last notes that I have here is, what's next for Third Eye? Location number 3 with another doubling of their production space.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
I also want to mention that there's a new episode of the Miami Valley Craft Beer Podcast, which is with
Warped Wing Dayton.
I fired it up, started it, and unfortunately there were similar audio issues this new episode.
Also focused on the Dayton Brewery, so it's not something that quite fits into our sphere to talk about, but it is out there.
Yes, but it is out there. It does focus on the Dayton Brewery, so I only got a few minutes in, but the audio was a little tough.
Okay.
Hopefully, Blake is able to work through some of those issues and troubleshoot and whatever those are so that we can get a easier listen in the future. But
love what Blake's doing. Love the Miami Valley Craft Beer Podcast.
Questions are good.
Absolutely.
You know, guests are interesting and engaging and all of that stuff. It's as a young podcast, I think he's going through a few growing pains with some of the audio, and I know he's going to get it figured out, and that's good.
Previous episodes have been great. Tech issues happen.
Yeah.
But again, Blake, the episode, I want to say it was a great episode. I couldn't hear it well enough to say that with confidence, but I know that you do amazing interviews. I know that the people you have on your podcast are always amazing. I mean, if you have a way to go back, and I'm not even sure, but...
Strictly from an audio standpoint, the listen was tough.
Agreed.
The questions, the conversation, all of that was interesting.
Absolutely. You had to kind of work to hear it, but it was a very good interview.
And he put it out. So, absolutely. I mean, this is the version currently that he wants people to hear. So,
yes,
there you go.
Absolutely. Did you want to take a quick break? We have 2 more shows to go over, and we're doing pretty well on time.
Well, we can't do that.
I know. Well, but we have other plans for tonight, too.
We do.
So we might want to actually keep doing well.
Be responsible?
What? Maybe not. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Just keep doing well.
Exactly. So do you want to take a quick break, kind of regroupify a little bit?
Yeah.
And
regroupify,
and then we will come back with, I'm going to go into it, the Scentsy.
There we go.
Scentsy Brewcast.
Yeah, I fucked that up. And my car. When I say Scentsy Brewcast, why does it say Scentsy?
It was like Scentsy. It was like scent, like... It's an olfactory podcast.
Yeah, it's an olfactory, yes.
So after this break,
it's a real smelly podcast.
Smell-o-vision podcast.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
See ya.
We have made it.
Back.
And I'm still working on my Dunkel number 9. And Marco, it looks like you got a refill of an amazing IPA.
Improv, yeah.
Improv, heck yeah. I was trying to think of what my favorite fretboard beer is. Of all time, I think it's got to be Mellowship. Like, hands down, there is something about that beer that I freaking adore and cannot get enough of. But I was trying to figure out what that they have on the board right now.
Yeah.
Would be my favorite.
Yeah. Improv.
Improv, it's probably a tie between Improv and Peso, to be honest.
Ooh,
which are
all right.
Which are fairly...
Well, you get more Peso.
You do get more Peso.
Because it's in a mug.
Right. Well, what do you say we keep talking about...
Nah, fuck it. Let's just go.
We're just going to go. We're going to order some food, and then we're going to Dora walk, and then we're going to... We're going to make our own Dora around Blue Ash fretboard. Blue Ash fretboard.
We're going to Dora over to Sammy's.
Right past the Ohio State Highway Patrol offices.
Yes, right past that.
They love it. They love seeing that because...
Who else has a brewery across the street from a State Highway Patrol headquarters?
I mean, in a way, it's probably the most responsible place to do it because you get people going, got to watch myself because I am driving right past the people that could make my life a living hell. So, I don't know. Is it a brilliant move or is it a terrible move?
I don't know. They're doing
some combination of the
doing just fine.
Yes, they are. They are doing great. As there are multiple locations, I would say. So,
and Ohio State, patrol.
Yeah.
Salute to you.
Yeah.
Keep doing the good work that you do, I guess.
Since we're talking about all things fretboard, do we want to just roll into Cincy Brewcast?
We should.
All right. This is Volume 10, Episode 7, Fretboard Heads to Harrison.
Yay!
And I want to say
Where the fuck is Harrison, Julia?
West.
Explain to people.
It's on the west. Like, you know where Indiana is? There. It's like, it's like literally.
Is that where Caitlin Clark is?
Yes.
Got it.
Yes, yes. The road that Fretboard Harrison, which they have an absolutely...
Does it lead to Caitlin Clark?
No.
Oh.
But as you're walking down that road, there is a point where as soon as you cross the street, you're in Indiana. Like, you can see Indiana.
Oh, the Sarah Palin. I can see Indiana from here.
Exactly, exactly. And so when you're standing in front of Fretboard's new Harrison location, which will be open... When this episode drops, May 17th, you can go there and you can, like, I think it's a Dora area around there. You might be able to have 1 foot in a non-Dora area
because it's
a completely different state, and 1 foot in a Dora area in Harrison because you're in Harrison, Indiana, and Harrison, Ohio, which isn't confusing at all. Speaking of which, Harrison Fretboard, they have the most brilliant name for their new location. It's amazing. So much thought and time and creativity went into it.
Purpose.
Man, I would love to say that the episode we did with Jim from Fretboard a couple weeks ago had something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not because they were probably too far down that path already, but...
But.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, by the way, this amazing. Episode is with Jim
from Fretboard. Yeah, that was never mentioned at all. We even re-listened to the first, 10 minutes of the episode going, did Gnome even introduce Jim?
Never introduced
Jim?
Him. Never no. introduced
so
him.
So we're doing it for you. It was in the show notes. Jim's name was listed as...
Well, I mean, who reads that shit?
Just me.
Yeah.
At least one person reads the show notes, okay? I absolutely love how you can feel the amount of fun that Gnome and Jim were having in this episode. Like, it was so energetic and so, like, you could just tell that they were both smiling the entire time that they were talking. It was absolutely phenomenal. Jim is a wonderful friend of the show. He is such a great guy. And I'm very interested to see how much we continue to see him around Fretboard now that he's ITing.
Now that he went back to the grind.
Yeah. Which, it made a lot of sense. We're kind of skipping... way close to the end of the episode with this, but Jim is, he's still involved with Fretboard. He's still very much a part of it, but he has stepped
I mean, he's
so
the owner,
far back.
So. He's one of the original founders.
Right. But he has stepped so far back from, like basically I've done everything that I can do. I've had every role at this company that I can have. I'm going to step back and I'm going to go back to the grind and go into IT again. So good on you. The world needs more IT professionals that love craft beer.
Yes. Yes. Well, that, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Per this episode, they're still pretty unsure if the Harrison location is going to be a thing. It's iffy. They're pretty sure that on Friday, May 17th, the doors will open. However, they're not 100% set in stone yet. So, if you go down there, if you go to Harrison on the 17th, and the doors are locked, just give it another couple weeks. It'll be fine.
Yeah, just hang out. It'll just be, wait.
Just wait. Fretboard Light, they talked a bit about that and the kind of light lager explosion in Cincinnati and how that
Susplosion?
Susplosion. It all started with Vlad. And is Fretboard, this is something that I thought of, not something that they talked about, while they were discussing Fretboard Light and Vlad and all these other amazing lagers that Fretboard makes, I started thinking, is Fretboard potentially the biggest lager brewery in Cincinnati right now? No? Okay, who is? Because when I start to think about this, I overthink and underthink.
Okay, so we're here.
Yes.
And I'm looking at the board.
Yes.
And Dunkel number 9.
Peso.
Fretboard Light. Vlad. Peso. Mm-hmm. Fretboard Amber. Mm-hmm. And... That'd be it. Dolly's a Kolsch. Dolly's a Kolsch.
Yeah.
Cowbell's a cream ale.
But in general, like a lot of these things are kind of seasonal, rotational. In general, the number of repeating lagers that Fretboard does offer year after year.
Mm-hmm.
I think
places like Wiedemann and Moorline might want to work.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair. Well, again, this wasn't me making a declaration. It was as I was thinking about it.
Oh, no,
like,
you were making a declaration.
I was kind of making a very strong statement there. You're right.
No, I think there are a lot of breweries around town.
I mean, hey, you know, Wiedemann,
that...
Moorland. I'm thinking about Elijah. I don't know what's happening. Moorline, if you want to give me, for testing purposes... a sampling of the amazing lagers that you're making.
I had a sampling of a lager last Sunday after the pig, and I will have to say that it could be improved.
Okay. They did talk a bit about the Fretboard location, and apparently one of the launch beers that they are going to have at the Fretboard location, because they want it to be an experience, an event, even though they're not planning like a huge opening celebration, it's just going to be... unlock the doors, step back, and, you know, wait for
people. Is that like a West Side thing?
It pretty much is.
It's like a West Side thing? Because I'm like, if they're over here, over here in the burbs, it's like, we do a big party. We do a whole thing.
On the West Side, you find out through your neighbor's neighbor that something is opening on a specific date. Shout out to the West. And the grand opening, whenever that's going to happen, of the new Olive Garden over on the West Side.
If you're going to the opening, make sure to take a dish.
Yes, bring a dish. But one of the beers that they're going to have at the release is something that Fretboard really does not do this type of thing very often. But they're like, you know what? We're in a building that has a vault. We need to make this something special. They will have a glitter beer on tap.
Yes.
Which, have you had a glitter beer before?
I have.
Awesome. So have I. And they have their place, and that is for the opening of a new location.
Yeah.
Not going to be much of it there, so listen to this episode to find out exactly when it will be tapped and exactly how many pints they plan on being able to pour.
Jim's planning on changing his Facebook profile to Jim Glitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that opening weekend.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
By the way, Jim, that is a phenomenal... When you do your own solo act, Glitter Jim would be...
Oh, Glitter Jim?
The perfect stage.
Hell yeah.
Signing up. Taproom expansions. The why going into each space, such as Hamilton, Norwood, Harrison. How they try to pull together and make each space its own, but also still feel like you're in a Fretboard location. which I've only been to Blue Ash and Factory 52.
It also
I've not yet been to Hamilton, but
I've not been to Hamilton. Yeah. I've been to currently sitting in Blue Ash.
Imagine that.
And
we should have recorded this from Harrison. We should have just knocked on the door and said, "Hey, can you let us in, please? We know
and
a guy."
I have been to Factory 52. So mm-hmm. have you.
Yep.
Different times. We don't go everywhere together, by
Believe
the way,
it or not,
everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Believe it or not, we're not. I mean,
I do like when I'm out somewhere and they're like, "Well, where's Marco?" And I'm like, "It's."
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. What do I carry? You carry him in your pocket? What the fuck?
I'll text him and find out where he is, but I don't know.
Yeah. It happens where we're at places together. Yes, but like, no, we don't like.
But anyway, yeah, each of the spaces, they do try to have something that makes them feel like a fretboard location. And at least between Blue Ash and Factory 52, I think that they succeeded enormously in that.
I feel like there's a cohesion between the spaces, for sure.
And I feel like for me, it'll be easier and quicker for me to check out the Harrison space than the Hamilton space, and I feel like that's a little bit opposite for you. I think you'll end up checking out the Hamilton space potentially before
possibly.
You check out the Harrison space.
Yeah, possibly.
Just due to where we live and just schedules and all that kind
Until
of stuff.
Until you move.
Food. They talked about food.
Food.
No one noticed or really mentioned at all that Fretboard took over the food in Blue Ash, which I think is phenomenal. But yeah, we were talking about that when we showed up and kind of had our pre-production notes. It was an incredibly seamless transition. It happened for kind of more unfortunate reasons.
Yeah.
Which, again, listen to the episode because, A, it's a fantastic episode, but B, you get so much more by listening than what we put out there for you. But an unfortunate situation led into Fretboard now owning their food at all of their locations. Well,
no.
Factory 52's a complete outlier.
They also don't
and also,
own the food at Hamilton.
Because they don't really
That's a partnership.
Own Hamilton. Right.
They
which,
don't
which
own
again,
Hamilton.
Yes, yes. I was kind of getting there, but I was also doing the little R-Truth kind of.
Oh, I fucked that up?
Kind of.
That's
fine. Still, listen to the episode to find out what exactly we're talking about. Because it was a very interesting and very eye-opening explanation of the different Fretboard locations and what is Fretboard and what is not Fretboard.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you do have a consistent experience regardless of the location, there is a very different, this might be the wrong wording, but a very different kind of ownership structure at all of the locations. Let's see, what else do we have here? We kind of touched on this. Are you dying here? What's happening?
Probably dying.
Probably dying?
Yeah, probably dying.
Search your symptoms in WebMD. It's either cancer or you're dying. There are no other options.
But it sounds like... sounds like it's one and the same, right?
You don't always die from cancer, but you always die from dying.
Yes.
So...
That's true.
There you go. There you go. Jim is back in IT, as
back.
We kind of touched on at the very beginning of this recap. So look for Fretboard TikToks full of dancing around IT equipment, strategically placed around all of the different Fretboard tap rooms. Good Lord, man. You might be dying. Or have cancer. I don't know. Hopefully neither. There was more overall Fretboard talk in this episode, not... It wasn't very focused on Harrison.
Yeah, it wasn't.
The Harrison
specific.
Location was a couple little touch points here and there. But like I said in the beginning, this was such a fun episode to listen to. There was so much energy, so much fun and camaraderie. And you could just tell that Gnome and Jim just have such a great time talking to one another.
Well, yeah, there's a great connection. There's a familiarity there. We know that because, I mean, Gnome and Jim have been on our podcast.
They're both friends of ours. Yeah.
Yeah. Friends of the pod. Not just friends of the pod, friends of us.
Absolutely.
And so the conversation just flowed. It was a great conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Go and listen. And what's really interesting is that not just talking about Fretboard, you know, in bumfuck Egypt, but it was... There were questions about how he felt about the business and how he felt about, like, gauging his, you know, perspective on the time that Fretboard's been around and, you know, where they are as a business, where he is and how he feels about it. And, you know, as those conversations are usually not that open and honest, and usually not that, you don't usually hear that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great, because we were getting true, real, you know, comments from Jim.
Agreed. Well, I think I didn't have any other notes for this episode. Marco, looks like you were kind of wrapped up there, so we will take a super quick break. And then we only have one more show to talk about, and we are going to talk about all things Bruce Guys, Booze News. We'll be right back. All right, we have made it
back.
Marco had to try not to die, a.k.a. get a tissue.
Anybody who's listening heard me sneeze.
Anyone that lives in Cincinnati, their allergies are going nuts
times.
Right now because
and
of all the rain and now all
yeah,
the
and
stuff
then all
that's
of a sudden,
been kicked up.
Like, my nose is just, like, leaking, so I had to go fix that.
Well, thank you for fixing it, because there are no napkins at any of the tables. Like,
true,
even in the condiment carts that they have
strange,
at all the tables.
But that's fine.
Well, but, I mean, if you think about it, napkins are one of those things that they just end up everywhere. If you just had them, like, free on all the tables.
Oh, I don't have to think about it. I know about
it. Oh, that's true. That's true. So, all right, what do you say we run into the last episode, the last podcast, the last YouTube video? It's not podcast form. It should be. The video is everything, but I think that having a podcast form of this show would also be
I didn't realize
fantastic.
It's not a podcast
yeah,
form.
Yeah, no, it is not.
I
it is,
always
it is
watch because I
yeah.
want to watch.
Oh, absolutely. You have got to watch. You have to see them interacting with each other. But I think that there's also a benefit to just releasing the audio as a podcast. And who knows? Maybe they'll get to it.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe, maybe. We are talking, of course, about a Bruce Guys Booze News episode from today, as we're recording this,
today.
May 13th, 2024, have no fear, Doritos flavored liquor is here.
Eee.
Ugh.
We'll talk about that later.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, we will. Oof. We will talk about
ooh,
that.
Ooh, shit.
This episode was just under 24 minutes long, so we'll
yep.
see if we can recap it in under 24 minutes.
Probably
not. Because we like to talk about stuff. They are doing the research that no one else wants to do. And we appreciate them so much for it.
Yes.
When it comes to strange liquors and sipping creams and God knows what else, they actually drop their own money to get bottles of the ridiculous stuff that I'm not going to buy, that you're not going to buy.
Oh, hell
so
no.
So they can expose the experience to all of their I say listenership, but it's viewership.
Viewership,
because they are
yeah.
only on the YouTubes.
The YouTube.
C-Suite Shake-Ups.
Yeah,
that's
there,
how they kind
there
of
were
transition.
Several.
There were a lot. Some of them I was kind of glad to hear about, even though it still isn't going to change the way that I think about the company. It will take a lot for me to really want to give my money to a company that, in my opinion, makes subpar beer anyway.
All right, so basically what Julie is saying is
without
James
saying
Watt
it.
Is stepping down has stepped down from as the CFO or CEO from BrewDog.
Bleh.
And yeah.
But also the CEO of Diageo and Great Lakes. Like, there are a lot
yes.
of very high-level executives that are removing themselves from their positions, and the thought is it's all because financially sales are down, money is down. But I feel like in, well, probably not Great Lakes, but in at least two of those three named examples, there were bigger controversies or things going on that, I mean, might have come into play for why they're going,
James
I
Watt
want to distance
is,
myself from the name. But.
Yeah, James Watt's involved in a lot of different sort of legal situations, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's why he stepped down, but it could be. It could be.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense.
We
don't know all the details, but it's when you look at the, kind of the big picture for some of those, you go, how could you not?
And his title is weird. It's like it's owner slash I don't know. It's strange. Owner slash
don't know. So I'm not trying to speculate or anything. Lakes, everything's an alleged blah, blah, blah.
The Great Lakes thing seems sudden, and it seems sort of out of left field. Mm-hmm. And it happened at the same time as these other things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of easy to go ahead and lump them all in together.
Right, yeah. There must be some controversy going on, but I don't think there is.
I don't know if there is. Now, I'm not saying there's not, but...
It could be financial, or it could just be they were like, you know what, it's time for a fresh set of eyes to overlook this entire company, and I'm out. Who knows? We don't know.
But there were
just a lot in a fairly short amount of time, all things considered.
Right.
Yeah. Both Brett and Mike absolutely loved COVID for different reasons, different social reasons.
Oh, man.
I'll say, I don't want it to come back. By any means. But there were some things...
It never left.
Well, true. Very true. But there were some things during the thick of it that I'm... Like them, I'm going, man, I no longer have to go to this party or go to that event because, got a social distance. Can't be around people.
Well, we were like everyone else and we started a podcast.
Yeah, this is very true. They blended together their wine and weed news.
They did.
Because
actually, they cut short beer news.
They did.
To
the wine and weed news.
Wine and weed news.
And I don't know why, because pretty much all they said was wine's doing terribly, weed isn't doing terribly, and weed is taking the blame for being too cheap, and wine is too expensive, so should wine be cheaper and weed a little more expensive to balance out the two? And I'm going,
no.
Wait, why are we cutting off craft beer news for that?
No. No, and
obviously more to it than just my little, you know, thing there. But
no, there's a lot of things with wine and the pricing of wine that it doesn't have to do with the market necessarily. It has to do with the cost.
Sure.
For wineries. Now, are wineries charging an outrageous rate for their wine, even with the cost? Possibly. Like eyeglasses, like the markup on a lens is like 900%.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Like 900% is ridiculous, but markup on a wine from California, you know, to like a $50 bottle, should it be $50? Should it be $20? I mean, you know, I don't know. But if that's what you're doing, because you have a market and value it at that, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's going to tell you whether it should be $50 or not. If you're still sitting on it, you know, for a long time, like, it's not priced right if it doesn't move.
Very true.
Now,
very, very true.
You can sit on a certain amount of batches for vintages and all this other stuff, but by volume, you need to move volume. So
you need to just move the product, period.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So just, you know, figure your shit out, California wine. and so, I mean, that's what I got to say about that. As far as weed product and all that, I don't know. I mean, all the product I've seen has pretty much been priced in sort of concert with, you know, the rest of craft beverages. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything's wrong with it.
No, I don't either. If you're talking specifically about, and you said beverages like THC beverages, stuff like that, yeah, I think that, you know, you're looking at $15 to $18 for a 4-pack, but I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable for the product that you're getting. Now, is that high? Is that too high? Is that average? I have no idea.
I don't even know.
It's still kind of new.
I don't buy these products, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what they're supposed to cost.
Well, and I feel like because it's such a new market that companies are able to get in, there's still no baseline. Companies are making that baseline right now, and as we go forward, 1 year, 5 years, et cetera, that's when you're going to kind of figure out what is the price point that people are going to be willing to pay for these beverages And that's when you're going to see that adjustment.
Well, I think what I'd say is if we're starting price point at craft beverages, as more people enter the market, it's going to go down.
Oh, probably. Kind of on the same topic of pricing, bourbon is softening. And there is nothing worse than a soft IPA other than maybe a soft bourbon.
Yeah.
But that was about the price of bourbon.
That was about the price of bourbon. Yes. Not the actual taste.
So, but we've talked about soft IPAs before, so I went, this is perfect.
Yeah.
I'm throwing it in there.
Yeah. Soft IPAs. Yeah. Fretboard or fret boring?
Ooh. But yeah, the idea or the thought is that within the next few years, next 5 years and a little bit beyond perhaps, the cost of bourbon is going to drop and you're going to be able to get some really damn good bourbon for some really damn good prices. It wasn't quite a stock tip from them, but it was a financial tip from them. And do not take financial advice from Brett or Mike.
Or us, by the
or
way.
Or us, yeah.
I see this coming. It's going to come with the tequila market as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is bourbon and tequila, all those things. It's not that they were fads and they're going to go out of fashion.
Sure, right.
It's that their peak is normalizing. And the same thing is with craft beer. The peak is normalizing. It's not that craft beer is going away.
Yeah, right, right. No,
now, as far as pricing in craft beer, that had, like, the actual production and all that other stuff, like everything that goes into new craft beer has become more expensive. So those things are going to normalize, as is the spirits industry with these things. So over the next 5-10 years, you're going to see some price normalization with some of the things that were just sort of out of whack.
Makes
sense. And also probably find things more available that weren't as available in the past.
And that led to the hashtag of this episode. I'm going to try to find a hashtag for every episode now because
let's go.
The phrase that they used is perfect. Pat your pappy. Take that however you want.
Yeah.
Be it a euphemism, be it as clear cut as you think it might be. Hashtag pat your pappy. Post those pictures and no, not of that, but of your bourbon.
Right.
Yes.
I don't want to see anything other than your bourbon.
No, definitely not.
Send pictures.
Nope. It was that led into Brett bringing out a mostly empty bottle of a Doritos liquor.
That was the first thing that I noticed.
Same. I'm like, wait a second.
He brings out this bottle.
He set it down.
And it's like 3/4 empty of a Doritos liquor.
And Mike pointed that out too. Like, have you been drinking this? Like, what the hell is going on?
Right. It's not like he poured 3/4 of the bottles out for his homies.
No. I mean, maybe.
No.
But no, definitely not. But bringing out that bottle of liquor, we actually saw someone who I didn't think actually existed. Producer Dan.
Producer Dan
came from behind the camera.
Yes, he did.
To get a shot of Doritos liquor.
He's like, pour me
he's
some
like,
of that.
He's like, hey, yo, I need that.
Of
I need that
everything
right now.
That they've had on the show, he's like, no,
that's
I need
what
to
he's
get
like,
one of
no.
those.
Mm. He doesn't want the Narragansett. He doesn't
I
want
loved
the,
it.
What was it, the Eggo sipping cream or whatever.
Yeah,
no. Doritos
yes.
liquor is what he went, I need to be a part of this.
Like, yeah.
I am willing to expose that I exist. To have some of this.
Now he's part now he's part of the on-camera show.
Absolutely.
So every
so
episode
we're gonna
have needs
to
have a producer Dan.
Yes.
Moment.
If not that, a big producer Dan fathead behind him on the wall.
Yes.
Absolutely. So waiting for our fathead to show up back there.
Yeah.
Just our logo. It's
just
fine.
A logo.
It's fine. They talked about was skill involved in making this beverage. And is this beverage the reason that Brett is calling for Prohibition version 2?
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
It's
I don't want to give anything
away. No, I'm not going. No,
go
no.
Listen.
Watch
I'm not going to go further
do
than
this.
I can't believe it.
And then I have... Those are all the direct notes that I had for this episode, but I do have a sip count.
Okay, let's go.
And I do have a shout out for their book that I want to give.
Ah, yeah.
So the sip count first.
Let's go.
This is counting Dan's sip, or not really a sip. He took that entire shot of Doritos liquor.
Yeah, we should count Dan's.
I did. I absolutely did. Mike took a total of 11 sips in this episode.
Okay.
Brett took 15.
Okay.
A little low for Brett, but
26.
You know, yeah. And then Dan had one.
27.
So that's 27. Multiply that by 2 for 2 ounces, according to our drinking game. I'm not even going to argue this anymore.
No.
Our drinking game, 2 ounces. That is 54 ounces, which is 3.37 pints.
That's not
of
bad.
Of your favorite beverage.
25 in minutes 20, or so?
24, yeah.
24
yeah.
minutes?
It's. You can do it.
I could do it.
It's a pint every 7 minutes.
I could do it.
All right. All right.
Do you want right now or now?
No, not right now.
Okay.
Because we still
okay.
have other plans.
Okay.
We still have other things
all
we
right.
want to do. So we need to make sure that we're still A-OK. And then they talked about the release of their book, Tanked in Cincinnati. It is an absolutely fantastic book. This weekend, I had my copy. I sat outside and read it cover to cover in one sitting. I got re-sunburned on my fucking face because I'm like, okay, the sun's out. It's shining directly in my eyes, but I don't want to move. The weather is great, and I want to keep reading outside.
Rachel saw that you got your copy. She's like, oh, Julia got her copy.
Absolutely
like,
amazing.
Yeah, Julia did.
And not only that, so...
Oh, shit. Oh, with Julie. What? Holy shit, it's the fucking book.
It's for you, Marco.
Oh, Julia brought
me
the book.
It's even signed.
Julia. Is this your copy you want me to give you
no,
back?
No, that is your copy.
This is my
that
copy?
That is your copy.
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
And the signature, that is Brett's actual ass print.
Oh, my God. Look at
his
that.
His starfish right
that
there.
That is his starfish right
for
there.
For you. Yeah. But you now have your own copy of Tanked in Cincinnati. It is an amazing, brilliant read. I loved it. I laughed. I cried. I found out things about Beer Dave talking to a member of Led Zeppelin. I read about Dan Listerman and his cat. It's fantastic. It is not just the interviews that they have already published on the Bruce Guys Booze News podcast. It is more than that. It is more in depth. It is,
this is
everyone
great.
Who loves Cincinnati
I'm
beer
touched.
And what they're doing, you need a copy of this
I'm
book.
Touched. Thank you, Julia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go to missinglink.com. Order your copy. I believe you can buy it at Urban Artifact. They'll have it for sale at Missing Link Fest on June the 1st. Support Brett and Mike and this book and all the amazing things that they are doing with Bruce Guys Booze News in all aspects, in their YouTube channel, in their podcast, in their printed book. It is awesome. It is fantastic. Like I said, I read it in one sitting, cover to cover, and I'm going, okay, well, when's the next one coming out? When is the next book coming out with the next set of interviews? Brett, Mike, congratulations. You have put out such an amazing product with this, and I am beyond happy that I was able to give a copy to Marco from the Missing Linked website. So they actually got like $2 from that.
That's awesome.
But those were all the notes that I had for this episode of Bruce Guys Booze News. Marco, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we wrap this up and get some barbecue and then go do
cheers.
A Dora walk and all kinds of stuff? Exactly. I'll let Marco take his pictures before we start to close down this episode.
I'm touched. I'm taken back. I that's awesome. Thank you so much, Julia.
Absolutely. Wasn't positive you were going to be able to make it down to Missing Link Fest, so I wanted to make
I'm
sure
that... I'm not positive
that,
I'm going to.
Right, right.
I'm
so gonna, I wanted to make yeah. sure that you got a copy. A copy of your very own day app.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
this was a lot of fun, and
So next week, we're going to recap that book, because
oh,
you're
going
to finish that book, but...
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. Cover to cover tomorrow.
Cover to cover. You got this. If you like what we did tonight, you know what to do. We don't need to tell you, but might as well tell you anyway. Like, review, subscribe, share. Tell people. just spread the word that if you want to know about what's happening in Cincinnati craft beer content, but you don't have time to listen to or watch everything on your own, let people know that Truth Beer and Podsequences does all that work for you, and then we recap things so that you can, I don't want to say pick and choose what you listen to, because we would love for you to listen to and watch everything that we talk about, but we understand your time is valuable, so we try to do what we can to promote these content creators as much as we can, so that you go, you know what, I'm interested in this, I'm going to listen to that episode this week, this month, whatever your time allows. If you would like to support Truth Beer and Podsequences, just go to truthbeerpod.com. You have links to everything, our social media, our email address, and our Patreon, which is where you get uncut episodes. Well, that's a lie. I cut out the silences for when Marco has to blow his nose before he dies of, of an allergy attack, or when we take a break to get beer, go to the bathroom. So the silences are gone, but everything else is in there for our Patreon members. They get an extra, on average, 15 minutes to sometimes up to an hour's worth of extra content. It's a phenomenal time. Support us if you'd like to. We would appreciate it. It helps cover not our beers. We pay for that ourselves, but it helps us cover things like website hosting, podcast hosting, the things that actually cost money to run this whole endeavor, which we love to do so much. But with that being said, Marco?
Julia.
What are you going to be doing next Tuesday?
Doing this, Julia. Cheers.
Cheers. We will see you guys next week.
Next week. See you.
Bye.
Bye.